Well, hello and welcome to Money Wisdom. I'm John Stillman alongside Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. Eric, you're wearing glasses today. You're not normally wearing glasses. What's the occasion?
Just sophistication.
Okay.
Joel accused me maybe months ago of, are you just trying to make yourself look smarter? I said yes.
It's working great. You look incredibly tall.
Can't wear contacts all the time. I like my glasses.
Give the eyeballs a break from time to time. Well, you told me that you have a strategy based on the weather.
Well, yeah, sure. Well, because I don't have prescription sunglasses, and if it's bright out, that can be problematic. So I on cloudy days, I wear my glasses. And Megan and I's oldest son, Parker, wears glasses, which are super cool when you're in third grade. Mm-hmm. And we wear them together. It's fun.
Very good. Well,
I was talking to Parker about my youth. He's very big into basketball. About Horace Grant. When I was recommending he wears rec specs at the soccer tournament over the weekend. And that might have gotten it done. He wore them. Did great.
Well, the early 90s Chicago Bulls are still cool, so that works.
So cool.
Well, that's more planning than I want to have to put in, that I need to give my eyeballs a break once a week, and I need to do it on a cloudy day. But if you've got a system down, I respect
system works.
You for it.
It's all about planning, John.
We're going to talk today about mental blocks. Some of the mental blocks that people have and how it might affect their financial planning. So let's talk about this thing called the IKEA effect. That's one of the mental blocks, the IKEA effect. And yes, that is like IKEA, the furniture company. So the IKEA effect essentially causes us to place higher value on things that we partially created ourselves. So, you know, the furniture from IKEA is cheaper. I think we can all agree. But you might, in your mind, think that it's worth more because you struggled for a few hours trying to put it together. So you assign more value to it. Same if you like have this pot that you painted yourself. And it's a pot that you bought for $20 and then you hand-painted it. And now you think it's worth $100. Well, it's probably not, but it has this value to you. So, Eric, how have you seen people maybe be reluctant to abandon a plan that clearly has failed? Like, the strategy clearly has not worked. But it's a strategy or an idea that they came up with themselves and they just can't walk away from it.
Right. They came up with it with themselves and they have their own value system around that. This is what I'm thinking and this is why it's going to work. I mean, the reality, so many of us in different walks of life doing different, we overcomplicate things. Like, if it lost money, it didn't go great. Like, look at our current environment with the market down. I get questions every day. Obviously at work, but outside of work. Well, oh, how about that market now? No, it's a tough time. And, you know, people say, well, you just got to stick it out. Well, not if what you own is awful. You know, that's where some feedback can help there is that, yes, if you own something that's good, right? You got a balanced portfolio. You've got, you know, not too much money into any one thing, and you own a bunch of great stuff. Like, I don't think you should be in a big rush to go sell your Google stock, which, of course, is Alphabet right now, right? It went down because about everything went down. And maybe the worst thing you could do with a good stock is cash out now, sit in cash, wait for the market to come up, and get back in. Of course, that's what a lot of people do. At the same time, if you own something that is not working out, right? You're driving down the highway with a car with three flat tires, and you're like, well, you know, I'm going to just stick with, you know, what I've done till now. That's a bad idea, right? And the pride can get in the way of some of this stuff. And it's not to say people can't do this on their own, but maybe sometimes you're too close to it and you're too personally invested in what you've always done. But start slow. Get a second opinion. Get some feedback. Hey, from someone who didn't design this thing, what's it look like from the outside, from a little bit further away?
So I've been sitting on this stock for a while, many, many decades now. It's this company that used to make typewriters. Am I to infer from your comments that maybe it's not going to come back for me?
No, I've heard about that company. I think you should stay all in.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Good tip.
I will continue to ride the roller coaster.
Double down.
Yeah. All right. So another mental block that people have related to their financial planning is just extreme optimism. There are some people that are always just very optimistic. Maybe that kind of ties in with what you're saying. Well, this is going to come back eventually, right?
Well, that's the book, The Secret. And I'm all about positivity and optimism because, okay, back to our soccer playing over the weekend. A lot of life lessons with the soccer playing because I'm Parker's coach and I absolutely love it. And he loves basketball, even though I'm coaching soccer. But I was talking to him about basketball, and I was like, you know what, all these great players that you love to read about and learn about, like, you know, Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and, you know, Kobe Bryant and all these people, like, what's one thing they all have in common? They all thought they were the best. They all believed they were the best. And that's one of the first steps to it, is believing that you can. So it is good to be optimistic. You also have to be realistic. Something I often say is, you know, we want to hope best case scenario. And I hope that's what your life is. I hope that's the way that it goes. You also have to plan and prepare worst case scenario, because things happen. And we all know that, and we all see that. So you shouldn't live your life in fear of the worst case. But you also, you know, there's a reason that about 70% of retirees don't have a will. These are not fun conversations. They're still important conversations. So some of the stuff that people have been procrastinating, you got to address that. Because by not addressing it, you're making decisions. And a lot of that is leaving things up to chance that doesn't have to be. So have that positive energy, but things don't always turn out great. And you got to be prepared for that too.
Well, you say we shouldn't live in fear of the worst case scenario happening, but that extreme pessimism, that's just as dangerous as the extreme optimism, right?
It might be more dangerous. I mean, I've met multiple people, and I am not making fun, but I've met multiple people who have built bunkers with months and months of canned food in them, you know, preparing for the apocalypse, for the worst case scenario. And we can, you know, outside looking in, be like, wow, that's a little, a lot extreme. But that's mentally where they're at. And I think a lot of people, again, you know, the IKEA effect, they are continuing to make things so much harder for themselves than they need to. Some of it's pride, some of it maybe just stubborn or fear, right? You had a bad experience with someone or advisor. I hate advisors. I don't trust advisors. It makes me sad to hear that, because that means someone has certainly had a bad experience. But I think in any walk of life, the majority of people out there working are trying to help people and trying to do the best job that they can do. So that just means you got to talk to some different people. And maybe you are best suited to manage things on your own, but maybe you're not, right? There's a lot of things we could teach ourselves how to do kind of good on the internet that we should probably not.
Yep, there's a YouTube video for just about everything, including investing, right? But doesn't mean you should do it yourself just because you saw a video or two. Another mental block that we'll talk about here, Eric, is something called bike shedding. Have you ever heard of bike shedding? So it's also known as the law of triviality. So the name bike shedding comes from this concept that, like, a city government might spend all this time and money discussing and researching putting in a bike path and bike sheds instead of focusing on things like dealing with the city's homeless population. You get distracted and you spend all your time on more trivial matters. That's bike shedding. So what are the trivial financial matters that you see people getting distracted over?
I was meeting with a client earlier this week. Really nice guy. Worked with him a long time. I'm going to say his name is Bill. Full disclosure, his name is not Bill, but we're going with it. And we spent a lot of time talking about this one thing that Bill was really fixated on, which was a stock that represented approximately 0.1% of his investable asset net worth. Doesn't matter what amount of money you have, that's a small number. In short, it doesn't matter. You know, like if you have a giant gaping hole in the roof of your house and a hurricane is coming and you're going to address that today, and then I talk to you later in the day and how to work out with the roof. It's like, well, you know, I didn't quite get to it, but my sock drawer is perfectly organized now and I'm very excited about it. It took me 7 hours. Like, we have to prioritize the things that are truly important. So that's another thing, is we can get very overwhelmed. Well, there's just so much to do in this and that. Well, I hear you and I understand that. But doing nothing does not make it better, makes it worse. So maybe we make that, write that list down. It's something that we do with folks all the time, sitting down is, and there's a lot of stuff to go through. There's a lot of stuff to work on. But what's the most important thing to do first and second? And then you go through like that, because you can't set up all this stuff at once. It takes time to develop a plan and trust and all that stuff. But make sure that you're not, right, focusing on a bike path if you have half your city doesn't have enough money for food. You know, let's make sure we're talking about the most important stuff first.
You're listening to Money Wisdom. Eric Hogarth is a certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti. We're talking about mental blocks, some of the mental blocks that affect people in their financial planning. Last one we'll hit on in this discussion, Eric, is the status quo bias. So, of course, this is the preference for things to just stay the same, stay as they are. Any changes from the norm are considered to be a loss for somebody who has this mental block. How have you seen people hurt themselves financially just by being hesitant to change anything from how they are now?
Well, talk about, and people say change in any direction, for better, for worse. It's still change, and most people are not that comfortable with change. And can also be abrupt if part of that change is, well, you know, I'm just going to give up total control of this thing I've always had control of and trust someone else who I've known for a week. So, of course, you shouldn't do that because you're not going to be comfortable with that, even if it is the best decision. Like, you're not. It takes time. Don't rush this stuff. But just because you've done something a long time doesn't mean that's the best way to do it. And where it gets really tricky, talking about retirement planning, let's talk about the stock market. Well, how did you save money for retirement? You probably did it in your 401k. Well, how did your 401k work? Well, every time you got paid, you never thought about it. You just put money in because you were supposed to, which is good. That's two thumbs up. Good stuff. But you just put money in. And sometimes the market was high, and sometimes the market was low, but you just kept doing it, and you kept doing it for a long period of time, and lo and behold, you get yourself to retirement, and you've got a bunch of money. And people say, well, you know, I've always stayed in the market, and it's always worked. Well, if you're about to retire, you're about to go from a phase where you never took anything out and always put stuff in, and you're going to shift to a phase where you don't put anything in. And you probably want to start taking stuff out. And if you wait long enough, the government's going to force you to take it out at 72. It's entirely different. I'm not saying you have to change everything that you've always done, but you certainly need to look at it because the same rules are not there anymore and your needs are different.
I think you found probably over time, correct me if I'm wrong, but my impression is the Money Map retirement review process helps people. It simplifies the equation enough that it helps people be equipped to make a decision. And that doesn't mean that the decision has to be, all right, Eric, you're going to be my financial advisor now. Maybe that's the decision. But the bottom line is it gives you clarity on where you stand and what you need to be doing moving forward, even if it's just something as simple as, yes, you know what, we should go ahead and pay off the house or whatever it is, whatever question it is you need to have answered. So, Eric, if somebody wants to participate in the Money Map Retirement Review, first of all, what is it? And then how can they make that happen?
So we spend, you know, I love our conversations. We spend our time talking about the generalities of financial planning, the philosophy behind it and all that. But that visit, you know, the disclaimer is you don't go make big changes based on people that don't know the specifics of you. The purpose of the visit is for us to learn about you, right? The specifics of you and what makes the most sense in your world, in your life. So that visit, and you can set it up by calling us at 1-800-705-1232, is we'll schedule a time and we'll sit down and we'll just talk about this stuff. And people say, well, I don't know what I need to bring in this. Don't overwhelm yourself. You don't have to bring anything. If you bring yourself and I ask you, what do you want to do in retirement? You know, you don't have to prepare for that. Even if you don't know, tell me you don't know. But it's just starting that conversation so we can start to put a plan together. And I'm not going to bore you with spreadsheets. We're going to talk about life and what you want it to look like and what you're trying to accomplish. That plan that you've had, please share with us what it is. You know, and then we build that map, that one piece of paper that we can sit down and look at and say, this is what it looks like to us, from the people that didn't build the plan in the first place, from people that do it all day, every day. And I think I feel really strongly that having that conversation will leave everyone in a better position, even if it's just the feedback to say, you've done a great job, keep doing it. You find yourself in the future where you don't want to do it, we'll still be here and you can call us, but at least it gives you someone to talk to.
Well, if you'd like to reach out, the number to call, 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. You can also text that number if that's easier for you. Just reach out. Let us know you'd like to go through the Money Map Retirement Review process, and we'll find a time to make that happen for you. Again, 800-705-1232 is the number to call. That's 800-705-1232. You're listening to Money Wisdom. Eric Hogarth is a certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. And Eric, let's open up the mailbag. What do you say?
Let's go.
Questions for you today.
Love the mailbag.
We'll start with Dale, who says, I can't say that I'm an expert on the stock market. In fact, I wouldn't consider myself a very sophisticated investor at all. But here I sit with about $900,000 saved for retirement between my IRAs, Roth, and 401k. Why don't you brag about it, Dale? I'm not really sure how I got here, though. My approach so far has obviously done pretty well. Is it safe to assume that I can just keep doing what I'm doing as I head into retirement?
Well, nice work. Does your life remain the same? That's not redundant. I mean, what you have been doing is saving into that plan and taking nothing out of it, needing nothing out of it. Does that continue on? It probably doesn't. I get frustrated sometimes when people are working with advisors and the advisor's advice is always, well, don't take the money out, leave it in. You didn't save the money to never spend it. You didn't save this money your whole life to spend your entire retirement feeling like you're not allowed to spend your own money. That is what it is there for. People have different needs. Some people want to leave behind a lot of money. But let's talk about spending money because, you know, this is a good amount of savings, Dale. And the reality is if you've saved $900,000, you probably don't plan to spend $900,000 on something this year. So some of it's probably for now, some of it's for later, and you can invest those monies differently to probably get a better plan. So it's worth taking a look at and seeing what you're doing. And also, there is some timing to this. You can't time the market, but if you have something that's gone up a lot, you know, like that typewriter stock, there comes a moment in time when you're probably best to get out of it. But step number one is figuring out, you know, is it the place to be in the first place?
So I know that you have a lot of people when they come in and they go through the money map review process where you say, look, you're in really good shape. You could retire now if you wanted to, or you could retire in a couple of years if that's your goal, or maybe you could have already retired. Like, I know most people are in better shape than they think, but I'm curious to know, does that mean they don't need to make any changes to their investments, or just that they have enough money, and as long as it's invested properly from this point forward, they're okay?
It is interesting on that because, again, let's keep things simple. People fall into two groups. People that saved enough to retire, people that didn't. You have to know which group you're in, right? You have enough, you don't have enough. And it is no set number. Eric, I heard that, you know, you need $1 million to retire in Connecticut. No, you don't. Some people need way more. Some people could do it on way less. Did you save enough money to live how you want to live? People hear that, well, you got to stay invested in the market. You know, you got to be in the market if you want to make money, which is not the only way to do it. But, you know, historically, it's kind of worked out. What if you don't need more money? I'm with you. We all want more money. We all want growth. I don't think you should just languish in a savings account making nothing with your life savings. But how are you going to react to risk? Because you've probably never been retired before. So you don't know what it's like to look at your life savings and see it go down. I'm not trying to, you know, make people fearful of this stuff, but you got to look at that. You know, and you need to know which part of that equation you're on. Can you retire or do you need more? You know, you got to know where you are because it's going to impact your willingness to risk losing that money.
Makes sense. How about Peggy? Peggy's next up in the mailbag. And she says the good news, this is a little bit longer question, by the way, so stick with me. She says the good news is that we have a brand new granddaughter.
That's fantastic. Cool.
The bad news is that she's going to be in the hospital for at least the next 2 months, maybe longer. That's all the details we have on that. She says, I can't imagine the idea of her not having somebody there by her side that whole time, but my daughter and son-in-law's financial situation doesn't allow them to be off work that long. I was planning to retire myself in about 18 months anyway, so I'm considering retiring now so that I can be there. The other option is that I could just give them money to help them cover bills while they take some time off work. Which do you think would be a better approach, Eric?
That, talk to your family. You know, this is where you get into the specifics of you. I can tell you how to have the most money. You got to tell me what you want your life to look like. A lot of times it's, I'm working so that I can do more of what I want to do. It's different for different people. Something like this, Peggy, I talk to your family because, you know, ask them as you're a parent and I'm a parent. Do they want to be there? Would they rather have you give them the money so that they can be there? And if they say yes, what an amazing thing to be able to do with the money that you saved. You got to make sure that you're okay, of course. But I think that's an amazing thing to be able to do. At the same time, if they're just in a position that, you know, spending a lot of time at the hospital as is, I need to be away a little bit, then Maybe you do stop early and go there because you can't get the time back. You know, I welcome those conversations because those are the life conversations about why you saved money in the first place.
Well, I mean, this is probably a great example of somebody who would just benefit greatly by knowing where she stands, right? I mean, she says she was planning to retire in 18 months, but what if she's in perfectly fine shape to just go ahead and retire now?
Right, and a lot of people are. And that's, you know, I think that's a great conversation to have. And like, the world we're in now, people are like, you know what? I don't really like telecommuting. I don't like working remote. Or there's a people that are like, I do love working remote, and now they want me to go back to the office, and it's 45 minutes from home, and I don't really want to. You have to know where you stand before you're faced with a decision that you might not have a lot of time to make.
Yep.
You know, so you be prepared for that. Same thing. We hope best case. We plan, prepare worst case. I mean, there's some things that all of us might encounter in life that are going to be, you know, hope we don't, but the reality is some of us are gonna. And then you talk about one like a spouse dying that we'll all experience. You know, if you're in that world, it's going to happen to one of you. You have to have a plan for it because it's not a what if, it's a when. So have these conversations when you can make a plan, you know, and I hope it doesn't happen. But I definitely hope it doesn't happen with you without a plan because that'll make it that much harder.
All right, last mailbag question for you today, Eric, is from Chuck, who says, I just received a medical diagnosis that will almost certainly shorten my life by several years. Man, really, a lot of downers in the mailbag today.
He's not super positive today. No.
This almost certainly will shorten my life by several years. I'm 64, and I'd planned to wait until 70 to start my Social Security so that I could get the largest possible amount. But now I think I should start it now. Do you agree?
Yes. I wanted to give a real quick answer on that one. Concise. So, you know, per usual, it depends. Chuck, quick one here. Are you, and I know you can't answer Chuck because I'm talking to John. Are you married? Is anyone else going to benefit from your Social Security benefit? That's another consideration. Just because you're not going to live a long, I hope you live a long time, but based on this, maybe not. Is your spouse going to live a long time? Because if your Social Security is bigger than their Social Security, then if you die first, it's paying out for two lives. You know, so that's a consideration. But you have to factor in what you think your life expectancy is. We're all trying to navigate this and figure out what this number is that, of course, none of us know what this number is. But I am a big fan that life is for living. You know, the balance of these things. You got to make sure you're okay in the future, but you don't live your whole life for a future that is not guaranteed. So you need to meet in the middle somewhere. There's some other questions here. Is Chuck, are you still working? Right, you're 64. If you're still working and your income is above a certain level and you draw Social Security, you're going to give back half of it in the form of a penalty. You're going to pay taxes on 85% of the remainder of it, and your benefit's going to stop growing by 8% per year. So none of that equals good. So this merits a longer conversation, but if you're in a good financial place, I'm not a big fan of waiting until 70 to draw your Social Security. I want to make sure that people get benefit and money out of a system that they've been saving into their whole life.
Well, we have about 30 seconds for you to remind us why we should go through the MoneyMap retirement review process to get the answers to these questions. So, ready, go.
Give us a call. Come sit down and have this conversation. I know this is an easy thing to procrastinate. I really do. And it's an honor to sit with folks and to talk about this stuff because, John, as you said, a lot of people are in a better position than they think they are. A lot of times people don't have to change stuff, but a lot of times people have a lot of anxiety over putting this off, and you don't have to. You know, if you sat with someone years ago and it didn't go great and it wasn't a good fit, then you've just eliminated one place that you should not go again. But, you know, I really encourage people to give us a call, 1-800-705-1232, and we'll schedule the visit with you. You're going to leave a message, so call right away. You don't have to have your calendar now. And we'll set up that time, and it will help you, maybe just to talk through this stuff. Don't, you know, try not to be overwhelmed about, you know, I got to get this ready or that ready. Just call us and come in, and we'll talk about this and hopefully leave you feeling better about it.
800-705-1232. You can call or you can text, whichever is easiest for you. 800-705-1232. Eric, thank you as always.
Always a pleasure, John. Thank you.
And we will do it again right here next week, same time, same place on Money Wisdom. Have a great week.
Money Wisdom is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti. Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered through JN Financial, LLC. Johnson Brunetti is a paid sponsor of the UConn Huskies athletic program.
Better Money is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti.